بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. الحمد لله والصلاة والسلام على رسول الله وآله وصحبه ومن اهتدى بهديه واستنى بسنته إلى يوم الدين، أما بعد، السلام عليكم ورحمة الله وبركاته. We begin discussing hadith number 20 of عمدة الأحكام, which was compiled by one of his names is Ibn Qudamah al-Maqdisi. He is better known as عبد الغني الجماعيلي المقدسي. So this is why they differentiate between Ibn Qudamah al-Maqdisi al-Muwaffaq, who compiled al-Mughni, and they differentiate between this great scholar. So Arshi.
بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. Narrated Aisha, may Allah be pleased with her, Abdurrahman bin Abu Bakr entered upon the Prophet while I was supporting the Prophet on my chest. Abdurrahman was holding a fresh siwak with which he was cleaning his teeth. Allah's Messenger, may the blessings of Allah and peace be upon him, looked at it, so I took the siwak. I chewed it with my teeth and made it soft, and then gave it to the Prophet, may the blessings of Allah and peace be upon him. Then he, may the blessings of Allah and peace be upon him, cleaned his teeth with it. I have never seen Allah's Apostle cleaning his teeth in a better way. After finishing the brushing of his teeth, he lifted his hand or his finger and said three times, O Allah, let me be with the highest companions. And then he died. Aisha used to say, he died while his head was resting between my chest and chin. Al-Bukhari.
This hadith is quite emotional because it is describing the final moments of our Prophet sallallahu alaihi wa sallam. And as we know that the biggest and hardest calamity a Muslim faces is in the death of the Prophet alayhi salatu wasalam. And the Prophet told us in the authentic hadith, whoever is struck by a catastrophe or a calamity, he should remember his loss in me, the Prophet of Allah, because then every other loss would be negligible. The greatest loss one of us may have encountered is the loss of the Prophet alayhi salatu wasalam. And as we know that he fell sick for some time before he died, and the scholars say that this is because of the effects of the poison he ate, sallallahu alaihi wasallam, when he was invited to eat from a meal that was prepared by a Jew woman. And the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, when he was on his dying bed, Mother Aisha is telling us how he was lying and resting his head between her chin and chest. So she was like embracing him, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. When Abdurrahman ibn Abi Bakr, her brother, enters the room with a fresh siwak, and she noticed, she could tell by the way the Prophet was looking, that he was interested in it. But he was unable to speak, it was hard for him to talk. So she took it, she softened it by biting it until it was soft, and then she gave it to the Prophet, who cleaned his teeth in a way second to none. And then after he had finished cleaning his teeth, sallallahu alaihi wasallam, he raised his finger, he raised his hand and said, oh Allah, make me among or with the high companions, ma'a rafiqi al-a'la, and he died sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And the rafiq al-a'la are those mentioned in Surah An-Nisa, that those who were favored and blessed by Allah to be with the prophets, with the siddiqeen, with the martyrs, and with the righteous. وَحَسُنَ أُولَٰئِكَ رَفِيقًا. And he's saying here, الرَّفِيق الْأَعْلَى. So he is pointing to his wish of being with them. And why did he say this? The Prophet said, عليه الصلاة والسلام, no prophet would die unless he is requested for approval or for permission, that is. Meaning that all messengers of Allah, before they die, the angel of death comes to them and seeks their permission. That Allah Azza wa Jal says that you are to die now, so am I permitted to do this? And we know a lot of hadiths regarding this issue. For example, the hadith of Musa, when the angel of death came to him disguised as a human being, and Musa was startled, so he punched him in the eye and he made his eye go, as in the human form. So he went to Allah and he said, "Oh Allah, you sent me to someone who does not want to die." So he told him to go back to Musa and tell him, "Allah says that you are to die, but if you want to prolong your life, put your hand on the skin of a bull, and every single hair under your hand would mean a year extra for you." How much would that be? 1,000? More. So the angel of death went to Musa, but he introduced himself now. And then Musa asked him, and the angel of death said that Allah says, put your hand on the skin of a bull or of a bison, and with every hair you get 1 year. And then Musa says, and then what? After 100 years, 1,000 years, 500,000 years, then what? The angel of death said, the inevitable, which is death. So Musa said, no, if this is the case, let it be now. And there are so many cases and different stories. But the hadith is obvious that the last thing the Prophet did, alayhi salatu wasalam, before he died was using the siwak, which indicates how important it is for us. The following hadith, hadith number 21. Yes, Sheikh.
Before that, can I make an addition to the miswak, this thing? Like medically, it is proven that the mouth is a harbor house of all bacteria, and many heart ailments are directly related to the mouth because of bacteria. So alhamdulillah, this prophetic advice is good for the ummah, because, you know, by continuously using, you are, you know, having a good mouth, which, you know, is helping your...
I agree with the fact that it is medically proven. But again, I would not wish that we go under this road. Meaning, hypothetically, if Islam tells us to do something and medicine proves that it is not good, what would I do? And I'll give you a very odd and strange example. The Prophet said, alayhi salatu wasalam, and the hadith is in al-Bukhari, when a fly falls into the cup of one of you, dip it, yani take the fly and dip it again in the liquid, because in one wing it has the illness and the other wing it has the remedy and the cure for that illness. Now, 200 years ago, those who were not believers said, what kind of a disgusting hadith is this? Astaghfirullah. First of all, we have to know that if the fly falls into my glass, I'm not forced to eat, to drink it, huh? I may toss it away. But if I were in Somalia and they had this glass with a fly in it, do you think they will toss it away? It's something for all times and for all places. Islam is not for a limited or a specific place. However, 200 years ago, the people did not approve of this. Even if it's in Bukhari, it is unacceptable. It's not logical. Only 20 or 25 years ago, medical reports and research, not from the Muslims, from the disbelievers, proved this prophetic hadith. And it was examined in the laboratories that the more you dip it, the more better it is for curing and killing all these bacteria in it. So, 200 years ago, what would you say about the hadith? Those who were practicing and believing, they would say, I could care less about what your medical reports are. And until today, I could care less. But as long as the hadith is authentic, my Prophet said it, alayhi wasalam, I believe it blindly. Therefore, I would not always like to connect the Quran and to the Sunnah to nowadays science. Why? Because today they come with a theory. saying that this verse of the Quran is, mashallah, is very great, it's excellent, it coincides with science. 2 months, 3 months down the line, another theory comes and says, no, the theory that proved that this ayah is correct or that hadith is correct is a wrong theory. So what will happen? I would have been playing with the Quran and the Sunnah and degrading them and allowing them to tarnish its reputation. No, I believe in the Quran and the Sunnah regardless of what science says. I hope this clarifies it. We have a break, so stay tuned, inshallah, we'll be right back.